like they say in the sports world, next man up. So I'd like to talk to you this morning about what a blind man was able to see. Or I've also titled it, What Saul Saw. We know that, as we just read, he was on the road to Damascus in Acts, the 26th chapter and verse 13, and a great light shone upon him. And we know if we look back upon the sun and look at the sun very long, we can soon lose our eyesight. Or if we sometimes look at an eclipse of the sun or the eclipse of the moon, the brightness of that will cause us to have eye damage. But we see here in this reading, in Acts the 26th chapter and verse 13, we read, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them that journeyed with me." I'd like to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning about what a blind man was able to see. I want to suggest to you that Paul was struck blind when he saw the glory of God. And being struck blind, he began to change his whole appearance of life. But one of the first things Saul saw, he saw himself as a sinner. He was an eyewitness to the stoning of Stephen. We read that in Acts 7 in verse 58, all the way through the start of Acts 8. Now, he stood there and watched the men stone Stephen to death. Stephen was one of the ones proclaiming God's word at this time. And we're going to spend most of our time today in Acts the 9th chapter. So if you'll turn to Acts the 9th chapter as we study the story of Saul and what Saul was able to see when he was struck blind. In Acts the 9th chapter, verses 1 and 2, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to go to Damascus in the synagogues, that if he found any in this way being meaning Christians, if he found any Christians, whether it be men or women, that he might bring them back bound unto Jerusalem." Here we see the kind of man Saul was at this time when he was struck blind. He was one going out and finding Christians along the way, going in to their houses and dragging them out in the streets, binding them, bringing them back to Jerusalem, that they may be persecuted. In 1 Timothy 1 and 15, Paul thought of himself as a chief of sinners. As we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 9, he said, "I am the least of the apostles." He thought this because of the way he was treating Christians at this time when he was on the road to Damascus. He was reflecting back and thinking how he would bind women up and men and bring them back to be tortured and persecuted for serving the Lord. But we also ourselves, if we're going to see as Paul saw, we need to have our eyes open into the gospel the way Paul's eyes were open into the gospel. We too need to realize we are sinners. In Romans 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We read in 1 John 1 through 8, if we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves, and we've deceived ourselves. But the second thing I want you to think about Saul as he was on the way to Damascus, Saul saw the word. Saul came in contact with the word. In Acts 9, we'll keep reading in verse 3, "As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and there be told thee what thou must do." Here we see Saul come in contact with the word. If we look in John, the first chapter, verse 1, we read that, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." And then we learn later on in verse 14, that word became flesh and dwelt among us. But in 1 Corinthians 15 and 8, we see Paul referring to himself at this time as one being born out of due time. He wasn't like the rest of the apostles who witnesses Jesus upon the earth, but to be a qualification of an apostle, you had to be an eyewitness of Christ. He was one of the ones who witnessed Jesus after the resurrection. Well, what about us? We also need to realize we're sinners, but we need to come in contact with the Word. We have the written Word here today, and we have the Word in front of us. We need to seek it out and search daily and find the things we're doing are right in the accordance of God. As Saul came in contact with the Word and was told what he must do, we too need to come in contact with the Word, the gospel of Christ, and find out what we must do to have our eyes open that we can see what we need to do to be saved. But the third point I want to talk to you about this morning, Saul saw the need for guidance. As we keep reading in Acts the 9th chapter, I'm going to pick up in verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. Here we see now he's told to go on in Damascus to be told thee what thou must do. And we see he needs guidance now to get into Damascus. And we see men guiding him into there so he can further know what he must do. But when he gets there, he meets a man by the name of Ananias who instructs him what he must do to have his eyes opened that he may see the gospel. Saul was led into Damascus for further guidance. The eunuch also, when he was on the chariot, in Acts 8, verses 29 through 31, he was reading out of the book of Isaiah, and when he came to a certain part of the Bible, he was not understanding what he was reading. We see Philip join the chariot, and he asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Also, we see Aquila and Priscilla being guided by Apollos as Apollos was preaching. He knew only the baptism of John, and Aquila and Priscilla taught him the way more perfectly. What about us, though? Once we come in contact with the Word, we also need some guidance from time to time. And that's when I suggest to you that we attend Bible classes. We open our Bibles, we study together. Any chance you have to get in a group of people and do a good Bible study, I encourage you to do so. It's easy to sit in the auditorium and as somebody else delivers the Word to you, but it's much more beneficial when we open the Bibles together and each of us take a part studying together. But the fourth thing I want to bring out to you, Saul saw the need to repent. Let's keep reading in Acts the 9th chapter, and we'll pick up with verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord, and to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Behold, here am I. Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one which is called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." It don't say here in this verse that Saul was praying for forgiveness of sins. But we can read as we study about the Apostle Paul or Saul at this time. We wonder, here he was a persecutor of the church. We know he's going into the streets. We know he's hailing men and women off to prison. And we know that he's put great torture upon the church. Now he's come in contact with the Word. And through this now he's begun to pray. And afterwards we see a complete turnaround in his behavior. We see one going from persecuting the church to preaching for the church. And if you want to know the three P's of the Apostle Paul, he first was a persecutor, then he went into prayer mode, and then he later went into the preaching. He had a complete turnaround. So I would suggest to you, while he was praying there, we can only imagine in our minds what he's asking for. He knows he's been one who is a terror to the church. And knowing he's come in contact with the Word, what would you be praying for in your own mind? I would be praying to the Lord, forgive me for all those people I had put to death. I would be thinking about Stephen. I would be thinking about all the men and women I hailed off to prison. I would be praying that the Lord would be merciful to me and forgive me of those things that I've done. As we see Saul, at this time he did a complete turnaround. I would suggest to you that Saul sought repentance, and he saw the need to have repentance. What about us? We come in contact with the Word. We may need further guidance on what we need to do to be saved. But also, we need to repent of our sins. We need to have a complete turnaround, living from the life of sin to live in a life of, for God. But the fifth thing I want to just think about, what Saul was able to see, as Saul's eyes were opened into the gospel, Saul saw the need to confess Jesus as being the Son of God. Keep reading with me now in Acts, the 9th chapter. We're going to skip a little bit ahead. I know this is after his conversion, but we want to see, point out the point that Saul realized that Christ was the Son of God. In Acts, the 9th chapter, in verse 20, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues," it's talking about Paul, "that he is the Son of God." So we see that Saul came to the realization that Jesus was the Son of God. Part of the confession we must make when our eyes are open and we need to seek out the gospel. We too must make that great confession before our souls can be saved. We must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We see that good example of the eunuch in Acts the 8th chapter in verse 37, where he's just simply said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." There's another thing, the sixth thing I want us to look at that Saul saw the need for. Saul saw the need to be baptized. Let's look at Acts the 9th chapter, and we're going to look back to verse 6. And here we see, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what thou wilt have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go in the city, and there will be told thee what thou must do." Look down to verse 18. "And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized." Turn with me, if you would, to Acts, the 22nd chapter. And we're going to pick up, this is, in Acts, we see Luke recording this. We're going to turn over to Acts, the 22nd chapter, and we're going to pick up Paul saying this in his own words. Here's Paul speaking in his own words. We're going to look at Acts, the 22nd chapter. Look at verse 7. And it says, "He fell to the ground, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus of Nazareth, I am persecuted." The same story he told. But look all the way down now to verse 16. And he's told there in verse 16, "And now why tarriest thou?" He was told, "Go in there and mask it," and there told him what he must do. "Now why tarriest thou? Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This is Paul telling it in his own words. We too must come in contact with the word. We must believe it. We must repent of our sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Point number 7, some things a blind man was able to see, or what Saul saw. As we see, as Saul's eyes were open to the gospel, Saul saw the need for a name change. No longer was he going to be called Saul, but his name was changed to Paul. He had a bad reputation under the name of Saul. All the persecution, when he go to talk to the brethren and they'd say his name was Saul, people would say, "I've heard of that man." But now his name is changed to Paul. He's going out now into the Gentile nation to preach to all the Gentile nation. We see as Saul's name was changed from a persecutor to an apostle. He changed his name from Saul to Paul. We also need to have that same name change after our baptism. We're no longer called a sinner. We're simply called a Christian. In Acts 11th chapter in verse 26, we see the Christian, they were called Christians first there in Antioch. We simply carry the name Christian. And that's what we identify ourselves as one of the saved, or one of those who have been called out, one of those who've had their eyes open to the gospel. We're just simply a Christian. The next point, point number 8. Saul saw the need to teach others. In Acts the 26th chapter, verses 15 through 19, as we read earlier, and he says here in the 15th verse, and he said, "Who art thou?" And said, "I'm Lord Jesus, whom the," I'm sorry, Acts 26, yeah. And it, okay, here we go. And he said, "Who art thou? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared to thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister unto the witness, both unto the things which I have seen and those things which appear unto thee. Deliver thee from delivering thee from Satan and from the, excuse me, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles whom I send thee. Now here's the key verse we want to really key in on is verse 18. As we're studying it, we said Paul needs to go out and teach others. And this is why we said he's sending him out to deliver the message to the Gentile nation. Look at verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and the power of Satan unto God, that they may be receive the forgiveness of their sins and inheritance among them which sanctify the faith and which is in me. Here Jesus, this is why he's on the road to Damascus again. Here Jesus told him what his purpose would be, to go in the Gentile nation and open their eyes. We see Paul's eyes were opened as he was as he got into Damascus, and he saw what he must do in order to have his eyes open so he could see the gospel. We also need to open the eyes of the lost. That's our job. Once we're saved, as we was talking in our Bible class today, we have a job of going back and teaching the lost again. And sometimes we fail that mission. We don't open the eyes of those who are lost. But another point I want to bring into the lesson tonight, point number 9, Paul saw the need to be faithful all the way until death. In 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, a very familiar reading, said Paul said, I fought the good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid for me that crown of righteousness. Can we say that about ourselves? Have our eyes been opened into the gospel? Well, we can say we've been able to teach others. We've done all we could. We're ready to lay down the sword and go in and enter our heavenly home. In Revelation 2:10, we're told to be faithful all the way until death. Closing this lesson out, I started with Acts 26. I closed out with Acts 26, saying we need to open the eyes of those who are sinners. Paul's eyes were opened as he went on the road to Damascus. He found out what he must do in order to inherit that eternal home. But I'm going to close with one verse of the song Amazing Grace, and then we'll stand and sing the invitation song. Think of the words Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. We have an open invitation here. Maybe some in our audience who are blinded by the sins that they've committed in the past. Maybe you've never obeyed the gospel. Maybe you're one of those who need some further guidance to help you understand what you need to do to make your life right with God. But if you're here today and never obeyed the gospel, we're pleading with you. But you may be here and have slipped back into the world. As we talked about in our Bible class today, there's some who have once gone back into the world and have crucified Christ afresh. If you're in that category, please come forward while we stand and sing.